I don't know about you, but we're always looking for ways to get our kids involved and give back in our local community. That's why we're excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers. Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. I would love for Violet to do this program when she's in high school.
This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, it's also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
Before our next pitch, I really need to figure out the lighting on Zooms. I hate the glare in my glasses.
Yeah, well, and I'm still getting ring light in the glasses. And I tried the parchment paper, which is supposed to work over the ring light, but it keeps slipping off because it's so slippery.
Yeah.
So I think I have to clip it on, but I don't have a big enough clip.
Oh, why can't it be simple?
I know. This is the problem of, you know, working from home. We didn't have this when we were going to meetings in actual offices.
No. Many other worries and concerns, but not this one.
Yes.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in Ojai, right outside of LA. And with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In today's episode, we'll talk about how we are approaching the second draft of our book.
Then in Take a Hike, we'll talk about true fun. What is it and how can you have it?
Finally, we have a Hollywood hack via Brooklyn that will elevate any room, and Liz has a TV recommendation. But Liz, first we have some updates. We've gotten a bunch of really great letters from listeners recently that we wanted to share.
Yes, this one comes from Jessica, who suggested how we might improve our flow, which we talked about in episode 355, Sarah, that we were having issues with our flow.
Yes.
Our workflow specifically. She says, "Hi, Sarah and Liz. I just listened to your podcast about having trouble getting into the flow of work. It sounds like since you're both obligers, you constantly have an ear open for other people's priorities. And when someone asks something of you, even if it's just to read an email, you prioritize it over what you want to be doing. Always having an ear open for other people's priorities is distracting in itself. Getting hijacked by other people's questions and requests is even more so. Since you both do it, the impact, distraction, is multiplied. Here's my suggestion. Take turns being the person responsible for sticking to your work plan. When it's your day, you're the one who's in charge of not allowing the team to be distracted from the plan for the day/week. It's your job not to allow the team to persuade itself that someone else's question or demand is more important than the team's work plan. When it's your day, you brook no argument, allow no excuse for distraction. You're responsible to the other person and to the team for keeping on track. Then the next day, you trade roles." Well, Jessica, this is a great idea.
Yeah, this was so fascinating, and I think it's a great idea. We'll have a discussion like, oh, well, we should do this, we should do that, and then we'll go do it. But if someone was specifically responsible for keeping us on the plan for the day, that would happen less, at least.
Yes, we should try it. I think you're better at keeping us on task than I am, but I do think if it were my role, if I were assigned to do it, then I would be on task because I'm a rule follower. So if it was a rule, then I would do it, and I know you would too.
Okay, I think this week we should try this.
Okay, we will try this. Okay. We will report back about whether or not this works for us.
Okay, who's doing it today? Who's taking the bullet first?
You do it first, Sarah.
Okay. I will do it first.
I hand that baton to you.
All right. Here we go. And then we got an email from Karina about the concept of embrace your core, which we discussed in episode 352. If you didn't hear that episode, by core, we mean like cottage core. What are the other cores, Liz?
I made up for myself Valley Mom Core, which means I must wear athleisure and have a Stanley Cup at all times.
Yes. So it's about knowing what your core, your, I guess it's like hardcore, your the core of you, all these things.
Your identity.
Yeah. Karina says, I was just listening to your episode where you talk about identifying your core. I was trying to think what mine would be and was getting a bit down that I couldn't think of any key features for myself other than being a mom. Have I streamlined my life for the sake of simplicity and relative calm too much? Then I realized I'm mat leave core. I've just had my third baby and I am on maternity leave until the end of the year. Mat leave core means my music choices are mostly the Wiggles, an Australian group who make kids' music. My style is breastfeeding friendly, and a favorite activity is walking with other mums discussing how much sleep we all got the night before. Admittedly, it's not a core that I want to identify with long term, but it was nice to realize that I still have an identity, even when it feels like so much of me belongs to my kids. Oh my gosh, Karina, that is so funny, and I so get it.
Yes, I think we have all been mat leave core at yes, one point. If we have lucky enough to have maternity leave.
Yes.
So embrace it and then move on. Your core doesn't have to be forever. It's what suits you in the moment.
I love that. I love that about core. Who knows what our core will be
I
in
do
5 years, Liz?
I know. My gosh, I will be curious to see, Sarah. Okay, and finally, we just got such a lovely email from a listener who has been hearing us talk about fertility for the last 350 episodes. You and I both feel passionately that women need to be very aware of their fertility and know that it can decline extremely quickly.
Yes.
In your late 30s or potentially even earlier. And we are always encourage people who have the means to get their eggs frozen if they don't want to freeze embryos. And of course, you are a very happy single mother by choice who used a sperm donor. So this is what this listener said. Hi, Liz and Sarah. I wanted to write in to send you my sincere thanks for bringing up the topic of fertility so many times and being open to sharing your struggles with fertility. I've always really wanted to have kids, but was waiting for the, quote, right time / person. Because of your advice, I knew I really shouldn't wait to go in, so I finally made the appointment and got myself to a fertility doctor to see what I had to work with. I'm 36, and unfortunately, or fortunately, I found out that I have no time to waste. I have an extremely low ovarian reserve. And I remember Sarah saying that she wished she started the process sooner. So I'm now on the path to seeing if I can get pregnant with a sperm donor. Without your insistence that fertility can really be an issue in your 30s, I don't think this would be on my radar, and I could have completely missed my window. Also, having Sarah as an amazing example of what having a baby on your own can look like has opened my eyes to that possibility. So thank you so much. Isn't that wonderful, Sarah? And you're an inspiration.
Amazing, and I'm totally about to cry because I'm a crier. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you especially for the people who are listening who also need to hear that because, I mean, it
yes.
is so critical. And if you don't want to have kids, it's like, okay, great. Don't even worry about this. But if you do,
yes.
there's like a dive bomb moment when like it won't be possible, you know, anymore. So
yes.
it's just something to be aware of. And so I'm so glad that you went in.
Yes, that is our PSA for the day. Okay, Sarah, it's time for From the Treadmill Desk Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week, it's how we're approaching the second draft of our book. So we should remind everybody that we are writing a novel. It is a female-centric thriller, very strong themes of friendship.
Yes. And I want to start by giving you credit for how we are approaching this draft, because you had an idea that fundamentally changed what the book is while having it also be the same. It's like you had an idea that made everything deeper, everything more meaningful, made our characters so much more specific, and like really defined what the tone of the book is. Like if you hadn't had this idea, we were kind of going, what's the tone? Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? And then as soon as you had this idea, it was like, oh, well, clearly this is what the tone is. So just credit goes to Liz for this approach.
Well, I must say, Sarah, I texted you and I said, is this a completely insane idea? And you were like, not insane. We are doing that. Yeah. It was like an instant thing, which, you know, we say when we have an idea that is right, we know it's right.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. So even though both that idea that I had and many others, you know, many changes we're making have a dramatic impact on the book to the degree, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the podcast, but we're not even rewriting the pages that we have. We are starting with blank pages.
We really are. Like we're going through.
Because we felt it would be easier.
Right, exactly. We're going through our previous outline. We're going through our previous pages to see the things that we do want to keep, but it's going to be whole cloth rewrite for the better. I mean, I'm really excited about it. I've been excited the whole time, but now I just feel a level of excitement that is like, okay, I know this is going to be really, really good and meaningful.
Yeah, I think before we felt like, okay, we will get a book. Like there will be a book here.
Yeah.
A novel will exist. But we weren't confident that we would like it or think we'd done a good job or that it gelled. And I think with this new draft, even though we have such a long way to go, we feel much more confident about the outcome.
Yes, absolutely. I think the first draft was sort of plot driven. You know, we were just trying to figure out all the moving pieces and we knew who our characters were, but they weren't particularly deep. In writer's rooms, we have the term house number, which is like based on, you know, when they used to build new communities, they would build the streets first and just put the house number of the house that will eventually be there on the curb. And it was like the house number with like a sketch of the house that was like, you know, sort of good. But now we're like, it has a foundation, it has support walls, it has good details. I like the backsplash. Like it's, we're really getting into it.
It's going to be so much better. And the funny thing, Sarah, it's, although, well, fundamentally, it's about the same thing. In other words, if someone asked us to describe the plot, we would describe it the same way.
Yeah.
It feels like it's not even the same book.
100%. I think what makes me happy about where we are now with the book is it feels like a book that is necessary. Not just like a book that we want to write, but a book that actually says something. And that's exciting.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it. As you know, though, my terror continues. Like now that we're starting writing the second draft, I'm coping once again with feeling overwhelmed by writing, even though I'm a writer. So this is just, you know, side note, for many of us, that feeling never goes away of just feeling frozen and like it's so hard to start and intimidated and, you know, imposter syndrome and all of that. So I have to fight those demons as we dive back in.
Yeah. And not to make that worse, but I think part of it, at least for me, is that now I know what I feel like it should be. It's just a question of, can I do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Now the bar is a lot higher because I think now we have much more of a vision.
Yeah.
We have much more of something we're trying to achieve. I think we both in our minds completely get what this book is.
Yeah.
Now it's, can we get it from our minds onto the paper? Which is never easy.
No.
But again, what we have to remind ourselves, Sarah, and, you know, everyone's getting a window here into our process, is that writing is rewriting. And just like the last draft, we shouldn't have gotten caught up and slowed ourselves down because we were worried about making something, you know, too good. The same is true for this draft. Because again, the book is so different. We should just get a draft down and then we can rewrite and hone in. And there's nothing to say we can't rewrite this book 10 times. So we don't have a due date on this. We can take our time.
Yes.
While being quick.
Yes, we can quickly take our time. Yes. And I think the odds of us rewriting it 10 times are, you know, fairly high.
Yeah. If the first draft is any indication, we'll be doing a lot of rewriting. Yes. But, you know, what we always say is when things are getting better, rewriting is fun and satisfying.
Yeah.
It's when you feel that they're going laterally that rewriting becomes the most oppressive, awful task.
Yes.
Right now, we feel very confident that it's getting better.
Yay.
Yay us.
Liz, maybe we can get some true fun out of the second draft process. We're going to talk about true fun when we come back, but first this break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, Liz, it's time for Take a Hike, where we talk about physical, spiritual, and mental health. And today, I think it's all of the above. We're talking about true fun.
So explain this, Sarah, because I had not heard about true fun.
Okay, so I'm reading The Power of Fun, which is a book by Catherine Price. In the book, she defines true fun as playfulness, connection, and flow. So in order to achieve kind of a state of really having true fun, you need at least two of those, and three is better. And it was a little alarming for me, and probably for a lot of people, to hear that as the definition of fun, because I think that's really challenging to attain.
And when you look at your life, Sarah, do you think you're having a lot of true fun or any true fun?
No. I mean, and I think what gets me about this so much is that I don't think a lot of people are having true fun. I mean, these are like really hard things to accomplish. First, playfulness. Like, I am not naturally playful. Most people, I think, are not naturally playful.
Well, you and I are not. That is true. I can't speak for the world, but I agree that you and I are not particularly playful people.
Yeah, and then connection. I do think connection is probably the easiest of the three,
mm-hmm.
but it's still having people with whom you truly connect on a deep level. Part of it is like not feeling self-conscious, not being self-critical while you're in these moments. I mean, most of us, I'm self-critical when I'm hanging out with you and I've known you for 100 years, right? Like,
yes,
that's not easy. And then flow, as we've talked about, both in a work context and in a life context, it's very hard to have flow.
So can you think of when the last time you had true fun is?
I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And what I landed on is, in the pandemic, we went to northern Minnesota and stayed in my house there. And we brought the dogs. My stepmom was there. It was a really fun winter. And I would say, like, when we were out on the ice and Violet was throwing snowballs for the dogs, who were just, like, so full of joy. And she was so full of joy. And it was so fun. And we were very in the moment. That is when I would say I last experienced true fun, but it's hard to think of those moments. Do you have any?
Well, Sarah, I don't think I've had any moment like that. I mean, I am just not the person to be out playing on the ice. True fun for me, for instance, when Jack and Adam and I watch Survivor together.
Aww.
Okay, that is true fun for me because it is playful because we talk all about the characters and what's happening and Jack cracks us up and we're playful about it.
Uh-huh.
It's obviously a connection. Now, flow, I don't know if there's flow. I mean, I think maybe so because it's just the flow of the show. So that's a true fun moment for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I was also thinking about it, and I think maybe this is why I'm so gung-ho to play Mahjong. Because now, is it playful? It's, I think, playful adjacent, let's uh-huh. say, because Mahjong can be quite serious to those of us who are concentrating on the card. But there's definite connection and
yes.
there's definite flow. So, and I love that feeling. And of course, connection for me is always the most important part of this because, again, like you and I, while we are not playful, I think we have true fun together. You know, as we were saying, we go on our adventures. We were just
That's
in Seattle.
True. I'm just thinking about when
I think
when
we
you were,
had true fun.
Yeah, when we were at the Emerald Iguana, that was true fun.
Yes, we were being time. That okay. was it. We were being playful yes. that trip. So I don't know. It's just maybe how do you define playful for you? Because
yeah.
I am just not the person who's ever going to be frolicking. I do not frolic.
I don't frolic often, but I think I need to frolic yes. more.
It's a good goal.
It is. And it's such a fascinating concept that these are the things that you need for true fun. It makes a lot of sense. And I actually want to sit down
yeah.
and go through this year, last year, the year before, and try and like find moments of true fun that maybe I just haven't thought of like you just brought up. But I think a lot of people have a true fun deficit. So I would love to hear from our listeners, like, are you having true fun? How do you find true fun in your life?
Yes, it's important.
It is.
Very important. And it is important for physical health as well, because it lowers stress and all of that.
Yes, laughter lowers blood pressure. It's true.
Yes. So, Sarah, we will report if we hear from people who have great ideas about how to have true fun. Of course, it's all what's fun for you. So true fun
yes.
for one might not be true fun for another. But anyway, it's an interesting subject. And coming up, we have a Hollywood hack that will improve the look of one of your rooms. But first, this break.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, Sarah, we are back with a Hollywood hack, and this is really a decorating hack. I think you're in a decorating frame of mind because you just decorated your new cloffice, your closet that you turned into an office, which I must say, it looks absolutely beautiful. And the hack is one that you discovered, which is add unexpected red to a space.
Yes. So unexpected red is a term that was coined by the Brooklyn-based designer Taylor Migliazzo Simon on TikTok. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's basically if you're in a room of your house, add some unexpected red. Like red is not, the whole room is not red. There's just like a touch of red. One picture I saw had a red floor. Another had a red bookcase. Another just had a big red something in it, a big thing of red flowers. Like just unexpected red in any form brings your room together and makes it look more beautiful. I think it's such a great idea.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that they say it's in a place where it doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yes.
And I think that's the key to it. And you know what it reminded me of, Sarah, is Gretchen and I talked about the wrong shoe theory of dressing on More Happier, which is that an outfit is elevated when you're not wearing the shoe that one expects. So with jeans, wear heels instead of sneakers.
Right.
With cargo pants, wear strappy sandals. With suit pants, wear sneakers, and it just gives it a more specific, quirky, elevated look.
Yes. So now I'm looking for unexpected red to put in my office. Like I'm looking at the video that I can see of you, Liz. You have a red like notebook or big book right behind you. It really stands out. So I have like little bits of red, but I think I really need to like pop some serious red in here.
Yes. I think pillows are always a good way to go, if nothing else.
Yes. I don't know that I can put a pillow in my cloffice, but
yes. Your cloffice doesn't really have room for a pillow. This is true.
No, it doesn't. But the other thing about this that I loved is I have a red KitchenAid stand mixer, and it hasn't gone in any of the kitchens I've had it in. It's been in three kitchens now. Does not match with anything, but I always love it. So I was doing unexpected red without even realizing it. It really does add to a space.
Yes. Well, I love this, Sarah, because I feel I know nothing about decorating. The only thing I know is layers. You're supposed to have layers of knickknacks. So this is helpful to me. Any tip I cling to.
Exactly.
So and I love this.
It makes me think of your tablescapes. You should put in like some unexpected red into your tablescapes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, Sarah, we're getting somewhere. We're evolving. Revolving.
We are. And okay, Liz, this week you have a recommendation. What is your recommendation for us?
So I am recommending a TV show. It is called Masters of the Air. It is a limited series on Apple TV. It comes from Amblin Entertainment, i.e. Steven Spielberg. And it stars Austin Butler, Calum Turner, and Anthony Boyle, among others. It is about the 100th bomb group in World War II. These were the guys who flew planes and dropped bombs during the war, and they died at really alarming rates. I mean, I think this was the most deadly group to be in. Flying itself was so dangerous, and they were getting shot at constantly. And these are some real heroes. And it was just an interesting story for me because I knew very little about the beginning of how all of sort of aviation in the military started. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, this is interesting. It was created by two guys, John Orloff and John Scheiben. And you and I worked with John Scheiben on The Vampire Diaries, and he's such a great guy. So it was nice to see that he had created this.
Yes, I haven't watched it yet, but that will inspire me for sure.
Yes, it's really just interesting in terms of history to watch. And there's an accompanying documentary, which I have not yet watched, but I will watch probably with Jack because he really likes war documentaries.
Very cool. Congratulations to John Scheiben. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Odyssey. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Listen to the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin and Side Hustle School.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram and Threads at S Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. Well, Sarah, let me tell you, though, my sort of quirk of life is that I think frolicking is boring. I just don't enjoy it.
I think it...
That's why I never do it.
Yeah, I think it often feels forced. So I don't really do it either, which is why when it kind of happened and suddenly I was frolicking, you know what I mean? It was like, oh...
Right.
This is fun.
Yeah.
True fun.
It was like a burst of joy.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I'm frolicking, I'm just waiting for it to be over, which I guess means it's not technically frolicking.
Exactly. We are unfrolickers.
From the Onward Project.